Recovery Sort Of is a podcast where we discuss recovery topics from the perspective of people living in long-term recovery. This podcast does not intend to represent the views of any particular group, organization, or fellowship. The attitudes expressed are solely the opinion of its contributors. Be advised, there may be strong language or topics of an adult nature.
Welcome back. This is Recovery Sort Of. I am Jason, and I journal.
And I'm Billy. I'm a person in long-term recovery.
I, too, am a long person in long-term recovery. I'm Jenny.
A long person named Jenny.
A long-term journaler.
Who Jenny's. Jenny.
This is my best intro ever.
So we're talking about journaling. We, you know, we're supposed to have a professional-ish person on to teach journaling, but instead we got Jenny because
I'll try to be very professional.
Did not show up. So the idea of journaling, I guess, what is journaling? Tell us what journaling is to start, right?
So I'm glad we're talking about this because I'm such a fan of journaling. And what is journaling? For me, it's like my self-care management planner. It's like my number one self-care tool. I think my self-care stems from here. So for me, it's putting all the swirly thoughts in my brain down on paper. It's getting them organized. And, you know, so sometimes that's lists. Sometimes it's like a brainstorm. Sometimes it's like plans or goals.
So you think of a to-do list as journaling?
Some of it's to-do list. Huh. It's all of it. So my journaling is like a whole spectrum of writing. Sometimes I'll record details about my day that I don't want to forget, but that's like kind of like the least activity I put. Sometimes I set out like plans or goals. Like I'll let myself dream or brainstorm. And then, you know, these will turn into stories or projects. It's kind of like a brain dump. And then it helps me sort and organize. Like, especially like, you know, if I have like mixed up or confused emotions about something, when I start to write it out, it starts to come together and it helps me be more organized about it. And that's what journaling is to me. I mean,
yeah. And interestingly, mm-hmm. I always thought like Jason, because of his comment he just made, it's like you write down your feelings for the day or some sort of, you know what I mean? Like self-reflective stuff. And I was listening, doing research for this, another guy talk about journaling very similarly to what you just said. Like he has times where, yes, he has a to-do list or he has a new goal that he came up with and he'll just write that out. Like it's all part of journaling is like organizing thoughts and doing different organizational things. And I was like, wow, I've never thought of journaling in that way.
I think in English class in like high school, they called it free writing. Just, you know, like letting your mind flow and just not worrying about punctuation or grammar. And I'll do a lot of that. And then things come together and either help me understand a present reality or help me figure out what I want in a situation. Because sometimes I don't know what I want. I just have a whole bunch of ideas. So journaling helps me hone in on what it is I want or what it is that's actually present.
Yeah. And not to get too off. I don't know if you have more questions, but so one of the things this gentleman said about journaling in this way that you're talking about is he uses a sketchbook. He doesn't use a book with lines on the paper because it's not always just writing.
You know, like
sometimes
that, yeah.
It's a little drawing or sometimes it's, you know, some doodles or, you know, bullet points, whatever, but he doesn't use line paper because he said the line paper tends to limit your brain and limit your thinking, whereas an open blank page gives you more creativity and more openness. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I totally dig that. And I have drawn in my journals too. In fact, you guys did an episode where we had to figure out your family's purpose. Do you remember that? There was like maybe an exercise you recommended. Like you asked Billy, like, do you have a family purpose? Yeah. Anyway, I used that as a journaling prompt and worked out my family's purpose from my point of view, and I worked it out in the journal. And there was drawing involved and like sketching and like you know, circles pointing here and drawing there.
I have never heard a concept that I agree more with and it also hate so much. I don't want to fucking write on unlined paper. It's going to be everywhere. It's not going to be straight line writing. Oh, my fucking God. Yeah. I have written on unlined paper and I'm like, I will write nice straight lines. And I don't. And I'm like, fuck.
I do line paper for sure. But I mean, but I'll tuck, you know, sheets of paper in there. Well, actually, now I've moved to electronic. And I type it out. So now I type it out because I have a lot of reasons why I type it out. So I can, I type faster than I write. My handwriting is shit. My mom's a teacher. She's so ashamed of me. Like, my handwriting is garbage. And like, when I get really writing, I can't even read my own handwriting.
Yeah, I can't spell either.
I just have terrible handwriting. And also with electronic format, I can also like paste pictures or screenshots or quotes. And you know what else I can do too is search keywords. So I keep it in like Apple Notes. And if I want to look up a date, or look up certain keywords, I can go right to that journal entry. So that's been working for me.
When have I written about when Jason didn't help me move and we looked at butterflies in the park? I'm not going to do this justice at all. And I wish my coworker Lisa was here. She could do this way better. But basically, handwriting has been proven to light up more of the brain.
I'm glad you brought that up.
So there's more activity in a lot of different areas when you handwrite. So there is a higher association with being able to remember what you write. And also just it activates the right side of the brain because to form letters is more of an art. And so when you're forming letters, you're actually pulling in your creative and feeling side of the brain, not just your analytical side.
They're using both the left and the right.
Which is why they think the handwriting portion of it is so key. It does raise an interesting question. So when you talk about lists and thoughts and ideas, I do tend to write them down a lot, but I do that on my phone in like a little notes kind of app. But I don't do like the little tappy input. I do the swipe texting input. And I'm like, I wonder if that is almost as similar to handwriting, right? Because you're like sliding your thumb around the screen instead of tapping keys. I don't know. I don't know if they've ever done that research.
Good justification.
Right. Yeah. I'm fucking quick with this shit.
Well, let's throw this one in too. So my friend Larissa who wrote into the show, she does journaling with audio clips. So she does whatever in her phone saves audio clips. And that works for her. I totally get this. So when she's walking or driving, she can talk into her phone and then go ahead.
Is she doing talk to text or is she recording audio clips?
Audio clips. And I'll do speech to text in my, cause I'll journal when I walk. Sometimes I take like an evening meditation kind of walk and I'll audio or voice to text into my journal on the walks, but she's actually saving audio clips. And and that totally works for her cause that's just how she processes better. And she said at times when she reviews it, she likes the fact that she can hear the tone of voice and like the inflection helps her understand the situation with a thought.
To be honest, though, I would not say that is journaling. I mean, because I would almost say that happens in recovery meetings. Like that's what people do. And maybe that's why there's some benefit to that. I don't know. I mean, some people just get in there and ramble, but some people, you know, like that's can easily see someone using that space in a recovery meeting as sorting through some thoughts and ideas and expressing them out loud for sort of, you know, review.
I don't know if it's journaling or not, but I feel like, yes, that's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
That's like what we do in therapy. It's like,
well, that's what I mean with the audio clips or the voice to text. Like, that's where I'm like,
So the part we have always said about the steps that helps is that putting it on paper lets us see it from a third person view, kind of like this idea that, you know, if somebody came up to you and was having relationship problems, the answer or solution for them is evident to you, but you can't figure out your own problems because there's feelings involved and in the way of seeing the situation clearly or through a different lens. So you put it on paper and you get a different view of it, just like if your friend was coming to you. I feel like that's kind of what happens in a therapeutic environment. Also, what kind of happens when you say things out loud in a recovery environment, like if you're saying it and you're listening and you're open to other people's input about it, like there's that same kind of idea. You're getting a new lens for it. And I guess if she's going back and listening to it, she's hearing it at a different time in her life, which makes it a different lens.
I guess my view of journaling had always been pretty narrow. I mean, even until we did research into this, I would have never thought, like, to me, it was always this, you're almost like a reflection of your day, like a diary where you just reflect on your day or what happened that day.
Too and
that
much was step 10
that's
in your
journaling
life.
Like, yeah, that's more or less. Yeah. And I never really thought of it much more than that.
I was over here debating. I'm like, well, when you do voice to text, you're trying to speak very clearly and enunciate so that it gets all the right words in the text. But when you just record your voice, you're using a more artistic flow, and that's going to be more useful than just, I don't know.
I agree. I mean, I think because we all have different learning styles. So it makes sense to me that we would have different journaling styles. Like what's going to benefit us the best? So in this case, Larissa is a good audio person. For me, I've always liked words. Like even when I was a little kid, I used to make lists. Like that's just my thing. I'm a word person. So it makes sense for me to be on paper. But so I still think audio journaling is a thing. I mean, Captain Picard audio journal, right?
Captain's log. Yeah. Stardate 4.2689.
That's the future, babe.
Way in the future, yeah. Though.
So I guess what I would say, the first thing I'm learning right here, right now, with the idea that we can make lists and we can audio journal, is the same thing I had to learn about meditation. There was no wrong way to meditate, and there's probably no wrong way to journal. Like the practice of doing it makes it right.
Yeah, actually, journaling, I think journaling and meditation for me are very similar practice. Like I kind of put them in the same classification. Yeah. What works for you? What helps? What benefits you the most? What style benefits you the most? If it's just recording details about your day helps you manage your life better, great. Like for me, it's definitely that free writing to figure things out. That's like the number one quality for journaling. Sure, I have other things in there that I jot down and list. But using my journal as a tool to figure things out is a lot like meditation to me, using it as a tool to figure out what's real and what's best for me. And
So the way I tried to pick up journaling this year, and I've had some medium success with that. It's on and off. It's been hard to implement. Let's say this. My judgment of its success is judged based on how often I would like to do it. I would like to do it more regularly. I think it is a good practice. It's something I want to pick up. I feel like I'm in that beginning stages of trying to pick up meditation where, you know, I can't get the regular practice. Like I get it. I write this week. I write next week. And then it drops off for a couple of weeks. And then I pick it back up. And I'm like, shit, I haven't done this for a month. But I haven't really gone into it with like topics or some people love topics. Like I have a couple of people I see that are always like, oh, give me a journal topic for this week. And I'm like, fuck, I got to think of something real quick and sound profound. but like, I just kind of go into it with like, maybe I have a feeling about something that day. And I find it's easier the days that I am having a specific like situation in my life. I'm like, oh, I want to write about this just to put it on paper. But there's other days where I'm like, I'm just going to journal just because I said I was, you know, commitment, right? And then I'm like, what the fuck am I even writing? I'm just kind of
That sounds like a chore. That
babbling.
Doesn't, yeah. I find journaling works best for me when I have kind of like a soft mind, like when I'm relaxed, like making it a chore, like don't forget to write. I'm not going to get. It's a task. It's like laundry. Like I'm not going to get anywhere if my mind's like. It's so journaling for me, like in the morning when the house is quiet, I'll write down a few thoughts. Or like in the afternoon before I have to do like the whole dinner routine, it's kind of like chill. Like the kids are playing video games after school and it's like my moment to like sit down and figure stuff out. Or in the evening. So yeah, like when it's like a to-do list item, you know, like got to change the oil, like force, it just doesn't work for me.
See, I never want to write.
But does it, do I have to go through that space to get to the space you're talking about? So like with meditation was not something I wanted to be a guy who meditated and got the benefits of it.
Sounds cool.
Right. I did not want to actually sit on any given day. Like the reminder would come up on my phone. I'm like, fuck, man, I got to do this again. But overdoing it, and I'm, you know, well over a year of daily meditation practice, like there are many days, 6 out of 7 probably every week, where I'm like, I can't fucking wait till that time when I get like that space where I know it's in my day. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to be great. So I wonder if I have to go through this like forceful period of it, right?
Yeah.
To get to the place where I start to experience the benefits. Because I will say, so far, I have not really felt any specific benefits that I can associate with having done it.
Like, and I've, my experience has been similar. I've done it a few times and probably never lasted more than like a week. And I'm like, oh, this feels like torture.
I wonder if audio journaling might be better for you. Maybe the speech to text or maybe the audio clips, because you hate writing.
Yeah.
Like, if my husband walks in and up, he sees me like clacking out on the
iPad. Reading.
He's like having fun with that term paper there, you know, like and because that is not his style at all. Like, he thinks journaling is like torture.
Yeah.
And so, but I bet, you know, if he thought journaling would benefit him, audio journaling would be easier for him. And he's a Star Trek fan, so I could just make that Picard reference.
Just like,
right. Here's what I think I'm running into most in my resistance to journaling, is that I'm going to have to take something else out. Like, when you just sat here, like, I was thinking, like, through my day, I'm like, oh, I have time between clients sometimes. Maybe I could journal then. But I'm always like, oh, I just kind of want to space out for a minute on my phone. I want to read news, whatever, answer a text. But when you were talking about, like, being soft in the morning, like, I have this kind of, I don't want to say it's rigid, but this routine I do every morning. I get up, I have my coffee, I do a little Candy Crush, I do some words with friends, I do my Wordle, right? Like, I read the news. I would have to give those up to take up that morning practice of, like, sitting with my coffee and journaling then. You know what I mean? Like, and that's really, I'm committed to them.
Yeah.
And it's not good. It's not good that I'm committed to them, because there's probably more benefit to just being with myself and reflecting and journaling. But
so maybe your journaling time is better, you know, the afternoon or evening.
I'm still giving up something.
Right, right. You do have a very full life.
I'm always giving up something. I don't want to give up. Well, but that's the idea of everything that's good for us, right?
Yeah.
We have to give up on these things that maybe aren't so healthy, even if we enjoy them.
Obviously, I've prioritized journaling in my life because...
Fuck you, Jenny.
It makes my life easier to have...
Meditating and journaling. How right. much better can you be than us?
I also don't eat meat.
All right, St. Jenny.
Now, the meat thing, you can have that. I'm not there.
Can you specifically point out for you, like in your body, can you tell this is how I feel being the person who journals regularly versus the pre-journaling Jenny? Like, was there a time when did you feel different then? Can you specifically be like, oh my God, ever since I started journaling, there's like with meditation, I'm like, yeah, man, when I meditate regularly, Billy and I have talked about this on meditation episodes, like there's a huge fucking difference.
Yeah.
You at least see it when you stop meditating,
right?
If nothing else.
Yeah, you feel it.
So I think it was about 3 years ago that I've been really committed to journaling. I think journaling's been part of my life on and off, but then having formal, I used to do paper, you know, journals, like cute little like decorative cover style with lines.
I
did those. I did those for a while until it was like a habit. So I guess I started meditating regularly about 4 or 5 years ago. So then journaling probably started 3 or 4 years ago, and I have been committed. So I have a ton of those paper journals on my shelf from seasons past. And then I moved to the iPhone, iPad.
You don't burn them?
No.
No, the one thing I read, the guy keeps each year gets its own book, and you keep them all. You go back and look.
That's what I was going to recommend, actually, is to break it up by season. So these books, like, there's no rhyme or reason to them. Like, you know, there's no color coding. You have to open them and see what dates they are. But it would be easier if I was like, this is my 2019, you know, whatever. And now when I journal in my iPad, I do break it up by season. And like, because otherwise you have like a note that's like miles long. So like I would say, I would recommend to people, break up your paper journals, audio files, or, you know, notes into like seasons, so you don't have a huge file. It's just easier.
I would recommend trusting the universe. Like, buy a book, and when that book gets filled up, maybe that, like, your life doesn't change because the year flipped over. It goes through changes whenever it changes. So just trust the universe has that.
That's what I did. Like, I would fill up a book, but it would just kind of end on an odd date, and you'd have to start like October 15th, you know, like a new one. Like, I wish
it was a new season of
maybe
life.
maybe that's just my organized mind. And maybe that's why journaling does work so well for me, is because I like being organized.
I'm almost picturing that as a great time. Like if you've been journaling about a certain thing throughout the length of this book, like a change you want to make in your life, and now you're getting your new journal book, it's like, I think now's the time to make that change and start
journaling.
Okay,
follow the universe that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Huh. I don't know. So I saw a person at one point that it was an, their journal was not more of a typical what we would think of journal. It was more just kind of like thoughts and doodles and stuff like that. And some of them, maybe they weren't real thrilled about the way they felt. Like it kind of like that resistance to looking at the dark side, like we talked about with Dave. But they would totally burn them after they were done. They didn't ever want them being found or anything.
That's funny. When I did step 4 and 5 with a AA sponsor, we burned it. And I was like, oh, I wish I had that stuff back. You know, like that was part of her ritual. And I was like, that's cool, we'll do it. And then I wished it was back.
So I have this thing, and this is coming up for me. You talk about looking back at them. Like for me, I want the benefit of journaling to be in the writing of it, because I don't ever plan on reading this shit again. Like that sounds like work for sure. I'm like, I'm not going back and reading that.
There probably 75% of it I don't look back on, because it's more like a tool in that I'm getting the words out. And then I'll make, maybe at the end of a season or cycle, I'll put like a summary, you know, but most of it I don't look back on. And then the summary's there if I need it.
So when did you go from paper journaling to the tablet, and why?
Probably about a year ago, and it's because I wanted to be more organized, and it's I wanted to put screenshots and pictures in there, and it's easier to do that than printing it out and pasting it in a book. Mm. And the iPhone's always with me, so when I'm driving, if I have a thought, I can shout it into the phone.
Yeah, mm. And that works better for you? You haven't noticed any, like, you don't feel like you're missing something, or you don't feel like you've lost anything from the benefits?
No, I don't. I do, like Jason brought up about, like, activating the right brain, and I'm curious about that. I do kind of side projects, like, I'll journal about something which will spawn maybe, like, a creative project on the side, which will require me to, like, draw, and I'll do that outside of the iPad and just kind of keep that on my bookshelf, you know? Mm. And then, oh, you know what I'll end up doing is taking a picture of it and putting it into the electronic file.
Does your journaling ever involve vision boards?
Yes.
I feel like vision boards are so...
Yes, you're smirking.
I'm like, God, this is going to sound critical of myself, but it's not meant to be.
Okay.
I'm not artistic in the way we think of art. Like, I don't draw particularly well. I can't get the picture that's in my head onto the paper in front of me in any fashion that looks anything like what the fuck I'm looking for. So I'm just, that's not like me. And so I feel like vision boards are constantly a thing we do at therapy trainings and stuff like that. And mine, and I don't care. Like, I don't give a fuck, but they look so terrible.
Can you do digital vision boards?
Well, that's what I was going to show you. I can't.
I just slap some shit on the paper. I'm like, so, fuck ever.
This is my vision board. It's the background of my phone. So I made a vision board. Like, you know, I did the brainstorm and the journaling. And then I made my 2022 vision board. And I made a collage on the background of my phone. So that's always right there.
I'm sitting there with my coworkers. We're cutting out magazine stuff. And like this one lady
has magazines.
Like, this lady has like 30,000 stickers. She's like professional vision board maker. And I'm sitting next to her. And I'm like... glue sticks, slapping some shit on. I'm like,
oh, come on, get in touch with your inner 5-year-old.
Well, my creative slash artistic side is somewhere else. It's in like talking and, you know, verbal ways and writing. Like I can creatively write or putting this podcast together, like the editing and stuff behind that. Like that's where my artistic side is. And I'm fine with that. I don't judge me for not being like a drawer or whatever. How do y'all say that?
Drawer. I think that's correct.
Drawer.
Artist.
Crayon.
I think this podcast is a sort of journal, because we are all exploring these topics, you know, sometimes like in real time, we're like discovering stuff, you know?
Yeah. No,
oh, yeah. I get immense benefit out of just talking through some of these ideas and hearing different perspectives, and it helps me sort out some of my ideas.
Oh, this is our group journal.
Is this the year 2022 journal for us?
It is.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was just curious about the vision board thing. But yeah, I don't particularly that. I've been better with allowing myself to be creative and not comparing. Like, I don't give a fuck about how it looks. But yeah, I don't. every time somebody's like, we're going to do a vision board, I'm like, yay.
You know, my funny story about this vision board is it includes a picture of me, right? Because that represents healthy self-worth. So my phone had to go to the, I had to take it in to get it like worked on. And the dude, the clerk, the technician, like saw my vision board. He's like, why the hell does this girl have a picture of herself as the background?
You think that's what he thought? Maybe he thought, man, I wish I had healthy self-confidence and had me as a picture on the back of my phone.
Myself is on my background. It's me and my wife.
Ooh.
Still. Yeah.
No,
I don't know what he thought, but
this podcast is not ready for what my background is currently, honestly. tell us about journaling so we can move away from that.
So my journal is private. Nobody else sees it. Like, I don't share that with anything. It's not like this podcast where the whole world can listen to our public journal, but
keep your dark side hidden.
I do. Mm-hmm. It just, like, knowing it's always private and hidden, I feel safer there. I can say anything and I know I'm not going to be exposed. Like, I don't, you know those little diaries when you were kids that had like the little tiny key and lock.
Yeah.
This one's serious. Yeah. This one needs a password. Yeah.
My kids had a voice activated one time. It was like a voice activated lock for their, and then they kept getting locked out of it because they were little and stupid and forgot the word.
And their voices changed and then they couldn't open it anymore.
You know, so I don't want this to feel critical of you because it's definitely not.
I'll do my best. Go ahead.
But it was interesting to hear you say that. And I do the same thing. So this is not a judgment of Jenny. It's an exploration of us, right? But like you kept your recovery status quiet for a long time, and it's been through working with us on this show that has changed a little bit, and you're like out and free and you're not living in the illusion anymore. And I'm like, but there's part of you want to keep hidden still and not be out and free and not living in the illusion anymore. And don't get me wrong, me too, right? Like I got my shit that I don't run around shouting from the rooftops. There's no doubt about that. But I'm like, man, why do we rob ourselves when we've only experienced the positives of, even though there's always a backlash to some extent, but like it's still freeing for us. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Well, and it's the journal allows me to at least show to my laptop, or my iPad rather, you know, like, so it does feel, you know.
Oh, Tim Cook's reading that shit. He's like, damn, Jenny, what was you thinking, girl?
But I guess, yeah, journaling, in the process of journaling, it is like, you know, maybe I'm getting there. Maybe by practicing telling my journal that nobody reads, I'll be able to tell other human beings and live more free.
How do you know your husband ain't going to read that one day?
I don't know, but he's really, I don't think he wants to know, to be honest. I don't think he wants to know.
Ooh, I'm not going to lie, right? And I'm not trying to cause marital issues, but that didn't sound like, I trust him enough that he respects my life and privacy. That sounded like he doesn't really give a fuck about me or what I'm thinking. I was like, damn.
You need a journal about that.
That was rough. I might journal about hearing that.
I don't know what to say to that. But I think he doesn't, like, if I leave my phone out, he doesn't pick it up and look at it. Like, he just doesn't care to know. He's got his own issues, I guess. I don't know.
What else about journaling? Where else are we going with this?
What else about journaling?
What else? In the recovery community that I, you know, got clean or abstinent or found recovery in, the 12-step world, there's a lot of people, or at least there's some people, who do talk about the idea of journaling. But even for a more universal aspect of it, I mean, we write down a lot of our steps in Narcotics Anonymous, and AA, there's a couple of them that they write on, right? So there's this form of journaling built into the steps to some extent, you know, especially you think about 4 and 6 and looking at yourself, 8, writing down these harms you've caused, 10, the idea of like this inventory on a daily basis, which it says doesn't have to be formally written, but you know, we do say that you don't really get a clear picture of yourself unless you're formally writing. So I don't know. I guess recovery does sort of guide people towards this idea of journaling, but I do feel like it's very step dependent and it's not considered like something you should do all the time, just like when you're there. Oh yeah, you should.
Well, and I mean, I don't, how much of that is more of just the current practice of that? Because I think in other fellowships, they don't write the way that we do, at least not in this area. And I'm sure different areas do it differently. So
being a part of some, so I'm not super familiar with the AA practice, exactly how it goes down. I do believe they write on a couple of steps.
4, 8.
Yeah, but I just knowing like going to some other fellowships for different things, and they follow more of the AA model, I guess. I don't know if it's exact to the AA model, but like the one fellowship I was in, their first step is more like what we consider a fourth step. Like you generally just write down your life history from birth to present, like everything, just write your life story. And then their four looked more like this chart of like, what did you do? Who was harmed by it? There's another column I can't think of. And then it was like, what was at the core of that harm? Was it selfishness? Was it greed? Like what was behind that? So their four was kind of like 4 and 5 in a chart version, almost like getting to the core nature of what was going on. And I think they wrote on 8 as well, but yeah, so I guess that's more AA-ish.
I can back you up. That was my experience. I didn't do much writing on 8, maybe some loose journaling, but I was in outpatient rehab for, and I had these little workbooks for 1 through 3, and it was super helpful for me because again, I'm a word and writing person. I did 1 through 3 when I finally got a sponsor.
Like
too.
The NA program. They write all kinds of shit.
That's what it is. Well, it's funny because my brother did NA. My brother's also in recovery. And he did NA a couple years before me. And when I found out about the NA workbooks, because he kind of had the same stance as you guys, like, oh, you don't really do work. This is how you get sober. And he showed me his NA workbooks. I'm like, I would love to do that. Because the little workbooks I did in rehab were really helpful and cool. And I loved the prompts and, you know, and then, of course I did 1 through 3 again with a sponsor, and then 4, I used like a spiral bound notebook, the charts that you described. And that was super helpful for me. But then by 8, I didn't have many more writing projects unless they were self-imposed.
This episode has been brought to you in part by Voices of Hope, Inc., a nonprofit recovery organization made up of people in recovery, family members, and allies. Together, members strive to protect the dignity of those that use drugs and those in recovery by advocating for treatment, harm reduction and support resources, and mentoring. Please visit us at www.voicesofhopemaryland.org and consider donating to our cause.
So if you're in any form of recovery and interested in answering step type questions, but maybe the step working guide in Narcotics Anonymous does not feel
too specific for addiction in that way.
It's really specific, and I feel like, I don't want to say it's surfacey, but a lot of the questions are like very specifically aimed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's a 12-step book out there that's more open and more kind of therapy feelings-ish backgroundy. It's called A Gentle Path Through the 12 Steps, or A Gentle Guide to the 12 Steps. It's by Patrick Carnes. Really interesting. I worked through it. I loved it. I just felt like it was really open and explorative and, you know, involved a lot of stuff that maybe a specific to a fellowship book wouldn't.
That's cool. It's like recovery light.
No.
No?
No, it felt like the opposite.
Oh.
It felt like recovery deep, recovery heavy.
Oh. Not like, okay.
It was very explored. It was more like therapy kind of recovery instead of just like, you know, suck it up and stop using drugs. It was like, where in your family history? What kind of feelings did this evoke in you when you dealt with your caregiver? Like that kind of stuff.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, I would encourage anybody in recovery in any program to have some kind of journaling. I just feel like it's like a great tool to get to know you. I don't know who it wouldn't work for, whether you are a writer or an audio person or pictures, you know, whatever style of learning you do best, find a way to use that to like have a conversation with your brain.
Is TikTok a video journal?
Yeah, for some people, I'm sure it is.
Is social media a form of journaling? That's an interesting, like you can look back, here's your memory from 10 years ago, what you were thinking, like.
Yes. And I've used social media as a tool to see where my headspace was at in the past. Instagram, not Facebook. It's easier to look up Instagram pictures.
Doesn't help if I don't ever post anything on Facebook.
Yeah. I don't either.
I could tag you guys in some random memories just to fuck with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was back before I knew Jenny.
I used to post, and now I don't even want to ever see what I post.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm doing that now, too. So as I'm going through, like, Facebook will be like, memories from whatever. I'm, like, deleting stuff. Like, I've long since deleted, like, drunk Jenny days. But then there's other stuff like, that was not funny at all.
You deleted that?
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah. I do not want memories coming up of me, like, all...
Huh.
Wow.
Tired-eyed and slurry looking, you know.
Facebook wasn't around, so I don't know how unattractive it would have been. And I could see the draw to want to remove that, and especially in early recovery when I had nothing else to do anyway, spending hours deleting all that shit would have probably worked. But I mean, I feel like just thinking about it right now, it's probably no different. Like, my posts from 2007 are probably horrid compared to who I am.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, what's the difference?
Mine are,
like,
for sure.
Do I need to delete that, or do I need to not so much be reminded of it, but know that, yeah, that's awesome. That's beautiful that change happens through a lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, I can go through and see the picture and be like, oh, great. I've changed. Delete. Thanks. Okay.
Well, see, and I'm the other way. Like, I wish there was more pictures and stuff of me using. Like, same. I don't have almost any because I didn't like myself. I didn't like people taking pictures of me. Obviously, phone cameras weren't around all the time, so it wasn't as many pictures. But if people were, like, pulling out cameras, I'm like, don't take pictures of me, you know. Like, my family, I'm not in very many family pictures at all. You know, like, there's just not a lot of pictures of me when I was using.
I want pictures from when I was using because I don't have many either. But I want some at, like, the lowest points because, like, what the fuck? That is such a testament to the transformation that can happen in life.
Yeah, I've almost thought about trying to get my mugshot pictures because I don't have those
either.
That'd
be great.
I don't know how you get them.
Dude, I look like a fucking skeleton. I mean, my cheeks were sunk in. I was gray. It was hard. And I'm like, yeah, that would be great.
Oh my gosh, we have homework now. Everybody get a picture of what you look like using.
I don't have any.
Well, I'm always jealous when the people put their, like, before and after recovery pictures. I'm like, I can't do one of them. Like, I don't have any pictures of me using.
And the couple I have, I'm like, they're not bad enough.
I know.
It was worse than that. They were at decent points if people were still taking pictures.
Right. I can't believe there's no pictures of me, like, drinking and driving and puking out the window. Like,
right?
There's no pictures of that.
Anyway, back to journaling.
Yeah, back to journaling.
I guess one of the other, it's helpful. I don't review too much, but by writing it down, I can see patterns of behavior, and that's really helpful too. Like, like, this isn't really my story, but I know some people get, like, seasonal affective disorder. I mean, there's other patterns that if you know, like if you write it down, it kind of commits it to memory. I think you mentioned that in the actual writing process, you commit to your brain more, even in the electronic or audio, by just acknowledging it. It just makes you pay attention. It's more mindful, I guess, you know, like, and you can see more patterns. And that's why I think it's super helpful for people in recovery. I mean, and mental health in general, but you want to see, like, what are your tendencies? Like, oh my gosh, I was writing about that last month. What's going on? You know?
Yeah. And one of the benefits, you know, I was looking at benefits of journaling, and one of them was keeps memory sharp. Journaling helps keep your brain in tip-top shape. Not only does it boost memory and comprehension, it also increases working memory capacity. Mm. So, you know, obviously, you probably know our memories are for shit on their own, and you can have an incident happen in front of three people and ask them 2 days later, and they'll give you three different stories of what color the hat was, what color jacket the person was wearing, you know. And I guess journaling is a way to help improve that.
Well, and we tend to think that when we remember something repeatedly, we're remembering it. But every time you remember something, you're remembering the last time you remembered it, which changes it even further. It's like the telephone game.
Right.
Whisper so down the lane, but in your story. Brain.
Right.
Yeah. Not even remembering a memory.
Right.
When I used to work, I knew this woman in HR, and she had a journal, like a spiral-bound journal on her desk. And she just wrote down basic facts of who saw her, what day, and maybe like a general idea of why. And it was a super useful tool because I guess HR office is pretty busy. But if she had that very basic facts, it just helped her remember the facts. Hmm. And then I guess the other colorful parts, she had other places to remember that or whatever. But just that kind of bare bones journal was a really essential tool for her work. Just time, date, person, why.
Well, and it's interesting what I'll call the side benefits of journaling, because I found quite a few too, which I hope to bring up as we continue this episode. But, like, if you just asked me what was the importance of journaling or what's the benefit of it before any of this, like my original thought is probably like self-exploration, like self-reflection, the space mm-hmm. to just kind of look at myself from a different place. So instead of that place where I always am, that judgment, that, you know, critical eye, like it just lets me put it on paper and kind of think of it differently. I would never think of like memory or some of the other things that mm-hmm. I found that it does for you. I'm like, huh, I guess it does do all that. Organization. Like I would never think of organization as what I would journal for. That's interesting mm-hmm. to me.
It's also a joy to see memories too. It's not all like painful stuff. Like sometimes it's fun to go back and be like, oh yeah, that's when my daughter's play was, you know, like, so it does have, you know, like I'll put pictures of like favorite memories in there. So it's not all like painful stuff.
And that's a benefit of the digital version is mm-hmm. that you can put these pictures or these cap, you know,
yeah.
event photos or whatever in there. You could draw a picture of your daughter's dance recital.
You could draw a picture. Mine would be like a couple of stick figures. Yeah. But like with all things, it just gets better with practice and it's super personal. Like how you do it is, you know, like it has what works for you. Super personal. So
interesting. Another benefit that I read, and I don't know if for me, it's a big deal because I struggle with anxiety, was it says it reduces stress. Have you noticed any benefit of that for you?
Yes, because knowing where I'm at reduces stress. When I'm like floundering or confused, if I'm in a situation that I don't quite understand and the writing about it helps me sort things out, naturally I'm going to be less anxious about it.
This is all I could think of when you were talking about pictures of dancing, this dance logo design fail. This is probably what I would end up drawing as dancing.
It took me a minute. I had to squint. Yeah. But because it's you, I knew where it was going.
Right,
so.
right. That's a old jazz dance logo. I look at too much internet, obviously.
You do.
So I saw that journaling can reduce anxiety. They did a study where people with various medical conditions and anxiety wrote online for 15 minutes, 3 days a week over a 12-week period, and they had increased feelings of well-being and fewer depressive symptoms. And it continued to improve during the 12 weeks that they journaled. Why? They don't know. But just writing things down lowers your anxiety. There you go, Billy.
Yeah, I imagine it gives you a more realistic perspective. I mean, in my head, things seem so important, or that, you know, the level of importance I'll place on different ideas or concepts is very different than what it looks like in real life. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so writing it down probably helps just make it more real, but then also help you see like a path forward or a path.
Well, and if you think about it, you know, if you're holding something in that makes you feel bad about yourself and never, like, it's kind of like that idea that I felt before I even used drugs. Like, I can't show myself to these people around me or they'll hate me the way I do. But if I can go to Billy or Jenny and say, man, I've been having this really like, what I feel is a shitty thought about something I want to do in my life. And they're like, no, I totally get it. Like that situation you're in, like if they normalize it, I now have to carry less of that burden, right? A lot of what happens in a therapy session, even though we like to think it's all this fancy shit, it's just the fact that people have a space to vent, mm-hmm. right? And journaling can provide that. Like you can vent in a place where you're not going to get judged.
Yeah, and I felt that about meeting same way. Like, yeah. I think a lot of times when I go in and share about difficult stuff in a meeting, I'm not necessarily looking for the people and their solutions to my problem. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, the goal of me getting it out isn't to fix it for anybody there to fix it. But I'm usually, by the time I share it out loud, some sort of answers or solutions or what I need is already coming back to me.
Right.
Just releasing it.
Well, and that's, I think, you know, you talk about going into a meeting and doing that. That was one of the most critical things for me early on. Like, I couldn't go into the doctor's office or the church brunch, you know, the pancake social and talk about how, you know, I punched that old lady in the face for a hit of crack, right, for her purse. Like, but in a meeting, people would be like, yeah.
Been there. Yeah,
she was asking for it. Like,
right. What street was she on?
She's still there every day? Like, I might need some money later. Yeah.
You got me thinking, though, because about how we share in meetings. And maybe my journaling really took off as out of necessity because it was right before COVID that I started journaling more seriously. And then it became like really dependent on it because we were all home so much. So I kind of became my own meeting out of necessity, you know, sharing stuff. Maybe I have to think more about that. But
and I want to ask you this because I don't know. I have never been to a No, that's not true. I've been to one meeting you were at, but you didn't say anything. In the 12-step world, there's a tendency for people who get some amount of time or recovery or respect where they feel like they can't talk about the tough things in their life anymore almost. And I don't know this, but I've almost got the feeling. I wonder if you go into the Dharma meetings that you go to and don't necessarily share about any of the gritty stuff. It's more like, oh, this is what I'm trying to practice. This is the positive parts of Jenny. Like,
I think you're definitely right. And okay. I've been thinking about that lately, how like I lead most of the meetings because nobody else wants to. But they say I do a really good job. But yeah, I end up being like the smiley, positive leader up front. And I don't share the yucky stuff. And I know that's becoming an issue. I'm trying to find other ways for that, but
Journaling helped you become aware of this?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it has. But I do, like, I'll share the tougher aspects or the challenges in the journal, and then I do come to Dharma, you know, with, you know, like, a, you know, a smile on my face. We get a lot of new people too, and I don't want them to walk in the door and be like, "You ready for this yet?" You know, like, so I do tend to do that, and that's the other reason. Like I mentioned, I was like, should I go try 12 steps for a little bit again just to shake things up, but yeah, limited on time.
Well, and the reason I asked is because one of the other benefits I read about was strengthened emotional function, which, you know, by writing about things and bringing them out, mm-hmm. we're like, oh yeah, I do see this, almost like you talked about earlier, like this pattern, or I see myself mm-hmm. thinking this certain way, and I can sort of begin to do something with that.
Yeah. And I mean, and you know what? I know this is an issue with me. I have trouble getting criticism, but if I tell my journal, I don't get criticized, you know, like sometimes I don't want people's advice. Some people, I don't, you know, there's people in meetings who like, I respect their recovery, but I do not want your advice. I don't want you commenting on my shit. You know, like I just want to get it out. So, but there's some toughening up emotionally. I need somehow some solution.
No, I get that. Like, that's one of the things I don't really want to share a lot in a meeting about something I'm actually going through, because generally those aren't the people I necessarily really want their suggestions. Like, I go straight to the people whose information I want. I don't need to put it out in an open format like that. Like, the people who I really am like, oh man, I really wonder what they think about this and how they would handle it so that I can get some more information. I just go straight to those people. Like, I don't really need. And I don't even know how often I really all the time need that. Like, I don't know if it's journal or self-reflection or a higher universal power. But like, I mean, I feel like generally after a while, we kind of know where we stand on morals and values and what priorities matter to us. And like, you know, you can kind of sit back and just think about it a little bit and step back from it. And it's like, that's kind of evident what I need to do.
Yeah. I mean, I do shared meetings, but I don't. Like, I get a little bit perturbed when people try to start giving me answers, but I know that's going to happen, and I just, most of it doesn't matter.
Patience and tolerance.
You
know,
you just, whatever. I try not to do that to other, because I want to do the same thing to other people when they share about where they're at, what they're going through. Oh, well, let me tell you how to fix that now. Yeah. I got all the information you need. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do the same fucking thing. So, I recognize it.
Says journaling helps with brooding. So if you write about an emotional event, you can break away from nonstop cycle of obsessively thinking and brooding over what happens. But apparently the timing matters, because writing about a traumatic event immediately after it can make you feel worse. So it's more about the brooding, not the actual event.
That reminds me of writing a letter and not sending it. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever been prescribed that? Like, write the email but don't send it.
Tell people that all the time.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever done that.
No,
it's about, you know, I guess it's about, well, you're the doctor, but it's about getting it out, and then you don't have to follow through. It just helps cool you off.
Well, generally, from my perspective, we just start with just write the letter that you would never send, right? Mm-hmm. Make it icky, make it nasty, make it dirty. Say all the shit you really need to say.
Wow.
Right? And then after you do that, then we'll talk about if you actually want to send a letter and how we can navigate writing the letter that you could send. But like first, let's just get that shit out and be ugly.
Yeah. I've also heard write the letter to your future self, you know, like of what you are proud of accomplishing. I guess this goes along with goal setting, but, you know, I guess have your future self write you a letter now and like...
Yeah.
I can tell how you feel about that.
Well, no, the one way you talked about it like that, write a letter to yourself in 5 years about where you're at and being thankful for the things you've accomplished in those 5 years and this, that, and the other. Like this idea of like, it's almost like visualizing a future outcome. And I'm like, I mean, it's not terrible, but I don't use it much.
So with your goals, do you just, is there like a random time they come up in your journaling or do you do them at the beginning of the year? Or?
Oh, yeah, I guess I'll do it with like the seasons, you know, like, you know, New Year's seems like a good time to set like goals for the year, you know?
Well, the guy that recommended the book, the sketchbook, also like he was saying what he does is in the beginning of the book, he writes goals, I think. One of the interesting things he did, and I thought this was fascinating, is he has the number of days until he turns 90. And that is and it counts down, you know, each year.
Do I have to be alive when I turn 90? Because that's just an infinite number of days.
And it was how many days you have left in your life until you know you're going to be dead.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So making the most of each day. And then
he has that
in there.
Contemplation
and
of death.
The countdown and then his goals and stuff. And I thought, wow, that's interesting.
That might fuck me up.
Send you into depression.
Yeah. I think I might do it, though. That sounds really... If I remember tomorrow.
Is there an app for like that 90-day countdown?
There's probably a countdown. There's countdown apps, I'm sure. Ooh, oh, God. Yeah. Can you imagine that popping up as a notification every morning?
Right.
28,000 more days till you're dead.
Yeah. So, I mean, for him, that was beneficial.
But then there was some other stuff.
But he did all those things like on the cover of the book. So when you first opened it, that was like the first thing. And then journaled through the rest. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool.
I might journal about my death. Anyway, it creates awareness. So writing down your feelings about a difficult situation can help you understand it better. The act of putting an experience into words and structure allows you to form new perceptions about events. So I think this goes back to the idea of venting it in a place where it's not going to be criticized, right? When we have to actually, it's one thing to walk around with this vague feeling of not liking ourselves for punching the old lady, but it's a whole nother thing to write it on paper. Well, what actually happened? Where did it go? Why did I do this? What was I feeling as it went on, right? Did she stab my kid? Well, maybe I was supposed to punch. Like, you know what I mean? There's a whole lot of other aspects to it, and you can step back from it. It's, again, I think it's really that stepping back that really helps a lot. That's a lot of the therapy process, just
different perspective and
step away from the body, right? Get away from your brain for a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why meditation goes so well with journaling, I would imagine, because, you know, meditation for me is similar. It's like I'm sitting back and watching all this shit swirling around in there.
Yeah.
Going, how much of this is nonsense? Like, how much of this is completely useless, wasted energy?
Oh my God, therapists are like brain police. Step away from the thoughts, ma'am. Gonna need you to step back. That's I don't like that. What were we gonna say?
Oh, I just like Billy. It's in like meditation, because meditation strengthens, you know, focus and concentration, and applying that to your journaling, and then I think they go hand in hand. And then when you have a stronger focus, you know, what's going on in your mind, you're writing it down, you can bring that back to meditation. And it just, I think they help each other. They work together like peanut butter and jelly.
Ooh, I like peanut butter and jelly. Do you journal when the mood strikes you, or do you have a time for it? And if you do, is it like I journal then meditate, or I meditate then journal?
Yes, all of that. Yes. So sometimes, so sometimes when I'm, if the moment strikes me, that's what's so convenient about recording it on my phone, because it's usually always with me. I can jot down what's come to mind. But then there's other times when I'm like, I'll tell my family, like, I'm going to go journal for a bit, you know, like, and I'll set aside time. And then there's other times where I go, I want to get deep, and I'll, you know, set the mood, you know, like meditate a little bit, maybe light a candle, you know, have a little cup of tea, because I want to get comfortable. You know, if I have incense, I usually don't. But, you know, I want to get comfortable because I want my mind to relax and get into something, you know, a topic that I've picked up from conversation, something that's been on my mind, something like, you know, an Instagram therapist brought to mind. And I'm like, ooh, I want to explore that, you know. So
highly disappointed in your lack of incense use.
I'll get some, I don't, yeah. If I have some, I'll burn it, but I don't
know. I need a big Buddha picture and incense, and then I like maybe it. I'll start journaling.
I just
set the mood, Billy,
like, right? I have to go find incense. It's not like at the grocery store,
it's,
you know,
on,
like,
Amazon, bro.
Well, that's true, but I'd still have to go find it.
It regulates emotions. So they did brain scans of people who wrote about their feelings, and it showed that they were better able to control their emotions better than those who wrote about a neutral experience. It also found that writing about feelings in an abstract way was more calming than writing vividly. It encourages opening up. So writing privately about a stressful event could encourage some to reach out for social support. Continuing what you said earlier, you're practicing for when you're ready to be more open about these things.
I figured it out all by myself. Yeah.
So here's one you might not know. I didn't. It can speed up physical healing. So they did a study on 49 adults in New Zealand and found that those who wrote for 20 minutes about their feelings on upsetting events healed faster after a biopsy than those who just wrote about daily activities.
Do they write about the biopsy?
Or just says feelings on upsetting events. So probably, I mean, if the biopsy.
What an interesting experiment.
But isn't that crazy that it speeds up your physical healing? They also did one where college students wrote about stressful events were less likely to get sick compared to those who wrote about neutral topics like their room.
Oh, man, that's cool.
So it increases your well-being physically as well.
Physical immunity.
So how to start?
How to start? I think. I mean, do you have a recommendation?
I'm open to yours because I don't necessarily believe these. They're just written on this.
Okay. So I would say how to start would be just start, you know, with a paper journal or the electronic one like we talked about, or audio, and just start recording events in your day. Just like real simple, no judgment. Just be like, today you could be like, recorded podcast with the guys, had an omelet for lunch, you know, and just start somewhere. Do not judge what you're writing.
And I didn't try any of them or check them out, but there are journaling apps too that will give you
prompts,
topics and things to start on. So.
And I think you will become naturally curious about your mind. I think as you start writing about your day, you'll start clicking like together some things, or be like, you know, I saw this really interesting documentary and that makes me wonder about this. And I think just recording bare facts, don't judge yourself. It doesn't have to be perfect or beautiful or even interesting. Your curiosity will naturally lead you to delve more into your own mind. That's what I believe.
I already like that more than anything that's written on this page. Yeah, and I am awesome. Actually going to try that. Because the part of my problem is I'm like, well, I got 10 minutes for my next person. Do I really have time to sit down and get into one of these page-long journal entries? And maybe I'll just pull the fucking book out and write a sentence.
Right. A couple of
things. I'm going to try that. Thank you.
That is pretty helpful.
Oh, you're welcome.
So this says try it on paper first. It says writing with pen and paper helps you process feelings better. It's also easier to add drawings, but go with whatever you're more comfortable with and is more convenient for you. It says make it a habit by picking a time of day, whether it's the first thing you do when you wake up or the last thing before you go to bed.
Commitment.
Doesn't exist. Don't even bother with that suggestion. Keep it simple. When you're first starting out, keep it simple. Journal only for a few minutes and set a timer. I like Jenny's idea better, so fuck this website. Do what feels right. There's no hard and fast rule on what you should write. It's your space to create whatever you want to express your feelings. Don't worry about spelling or sentence structure or what other people might think. Some people may prefer to write only if something is bothering them, but you should do what feels right for you. Write on anything. While a beautiful notebook might inspire some, it can intimidate others. You're free to use fucking lineless paper if you're a goddamn psychopath. but it could be specific scraps of paper, your phone. If you don't like writing, you could even try a voice memo. Imagine that. Larissa's onto something. Get creative. You may not be sure where to start with journaling. Or you might be reluctant if you're not fond of writing, Billy. But journaling doesn't have to be just about writing sentences. Try different formats. Write lists, make poetry, compose a song, write a letter, draw some art, or try bullet journaling. You can also find journaling prompts online, such as Billy said, or on apps that might inspire you. Try expressive writing. Writing about an event that was stressful or emotional for you may be more beneficial for your mental health than just diary writing. Is that different than diary writing? I don't know. Start a gratitude journal. Giving thanks is good for your mental health. Start off by listing three things that you're grateful for. These can be small things like a walk in the park, delicious cup of coffee, or good weather. Can be a list, full sentences, doesn't matter, do your thing. And don't set your expectations too high. Journal isn't going to solve all your problems. It isn't a therapist or counselor, but it can help you learn more about yourself.
It is my therapist.
Maybe you learn that you need a therapist. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, a lot of great stuff in there about what it can do for you. And I think it, the way they laid it out, I was a little skeptical about their suggestions for getting started. I liked it. It sounded like really open and just do what feels right and don't be pressured. So I'm taking Jenny's suggestion. I'm going with it. I'm going to just try to write a sentence here and there about something that goes on and see where that goes. I like that idea.
Yeah, I think that's really useful too. I had a pretty narrow view of what I thought journaling was until I looked into this a little bit and listened to you. And, you know, it's always one of those things I've heard is super beneficial. And I'm always been like, yeah, that's for somebody else. But I felt that way about meditation for years too. So,
any final thoughts?
No, but thanks for letting me share about my journaling.
Oh, man. Thanks for bringing it to us. So go out there and journal. If you need a prompt for your first journal, you can write about how commitment is bullshit and doesn't exist, just like we talked about last episode. See you next week. Did you like this episode? Share it with people you think might get something out of it. Check out the rest of our episodes at recoverysortof.com. Also, while you're there, you can find ways to link up with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, YouTube, anything. We're always looking for new ideas. Got an idea you want us to look into? Reach out to us.